Nobody really want fuego. Messiah will bring fire down worse than Waco. Buy you some coffee and Lego, your Eggos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of mayo. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo, but the Messiah ain't playing no Eggos. Games, women in pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor. Even with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or better yet the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go for all their wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinidad Tobago, I'm spitting these words so all Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it? Cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Forsake your sins so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath, or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. From the one that's super dead.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Nobody really want fuego.
Hey,
from the one that's super dead.
Fuego.
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 You don't want that fuego.
Hey.
Fuego.
Fuego.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour, the Lost 144K, where we discuss Native Latin and Black biblical topics. I'm Captain Yahshua.
Hey, shalom. Happy Sabbath, Captain Amariah.
Shalom, Officer Eleazar.
All right. Eleazar is almost like a regular on this show now, right?
Hey, shalom. Shabbat shalom.
Hey, Shabbat shalom. He almost a regular now. Call-in number for the show is 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797. So today, we're going to speak about an article I saw, and it's titled, Most of America's Terrorists Are White and Not Muslim. So that's the title of the article. But the title of today's episode is, Most of America's terrorists are white. Israelites are not.
Yeah, let's not stray away from the fact that most of the terrorists are white. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Who the world so ignorantly calls white or Caucasian, the Bible calls Esau.
Right.
The Idumeans from the Caucasus Mountains of Georgia, Russia.
Right. You know what's funny? Like, as I'm reading this now, and I'm like, you know what? Some people are going to think that I'm saying Israelites are not white, that most of America's terrorists are. So I had to just change it. So, hey, can you update the title on there while you're doing that? And just, I put Israelites are not terrorists. Because somebody's going to say, well, yeah, Israelites are not white. I'm trying to put a flashy title.
It was
grammatically incorrect as I did this. Israelites are not terrorists, right? Okay. All right. So, interestingly enough, we were having a discussion amongst the captains here, and we were talking about in the group and how, you know, the SPLC and, you know, everybody likes to run to that to talk about Israelites in general. And, you know, I can't really speak to other Israelite camps that I don't have internal knowledge of, but I will say, you know, there's obviously, all of us are trying to preach the true Christ. I would say, you know, IUIC probably stands head and shoulders above that as far as also teaching repentance. And this might not be your typical, this isn't going to be a bang on the white man show. Far from it. We're going to talk about the article, we're going to state the facts, to lay the foundation for you to then make an informed decision and comparison to say, okay, how are these people labeled as hate group? How are these people looked at as black identity extremists? And they have none of the same parallels as these white terror groups, these white terror groups. And that's really kind of my aim of the show here, right? So I'm going to go ahead and post some links if you want to bring some comments out about that first. And, you know, because we got to know the characteristics of who this person is, how these people act and roll and react.
and then see if that actually makes sense compared to, because I mean, what, we just had like another shooting in California, right? And I'm telling you, it's like maybe one day there will something will come up and it'll be a Jake, but it's always Ida.
No, it's always. And then, first off, when it comes to this SPLC list and everything goes, it's a complete farce because it's the same people that are doing these atrocities are the ones that are saying, hey, listen, you're a hate right and I'm not. So it's completely biased from its foundation anyway. But give me Revelation chapter 1 and verse 11. Chapter 1, verse 11. Going back to what Gavin Yashua had just said about how he doesn't know how these other camps operate, because there's many, many, many camps operating, right? But give me this real quick. Second verse point.
The book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 11. Says, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write it in the book. And send it on seven churches.
All right, that's okay. I want to bring this out. I was make a point that Christ was dealing with multiple Israelite churches. So the same way that someone that is a part of Islam doesn't want to jump into the radical side of Islam and say, hey, you guys are all terrorists because you subscribe to being Muslim, it's the same way that we don't like to get lumped into, okay, just because you were an Israelite, now you subscribe to these crazy doctrines or you have this hatred on you. It's the same exact thing. Christ dealt with seven different churches, and then he had a problem with all seven different churches because they all ultimately told the same thing, but they all had issues. It's the same thing in this book, right? So when you see the word Israelite, all of a sudden now you get up into this. What's it called?
Black
identity.
Extremist.
Black identity. And that's not the case. That's just a blanket statement. They just lumped you into the hate group.
Really.
We teach marriages to one wife, get jobs, bring in children, raise children, all
right. And that's really where I ultimately want to steer the show after we set the foundation for what we're going to go over here. Is how could you label a group of black extremists? How could you be so up in arms and arms about hate group when we're teaching stable households? We're teaching, you know, one husband, one wife. We're teaching care for your kids. Have a good job, right? Obey the laws of the land. Be good, productive, respect the police, right? We're trying to keep our brothers and sisters out of the prison system, right?
Make them
more productive, honest, hardworking members of society.
It goes back to once you uncover a lie, and then your whole ideology and whole true values and absolute truth, your entire life now becomes
way, changing.
So the racial pressure of that comfort zone is so much easier.
They say, only these can hear the kingdom of heaven. And you've never heard that before in your entire life. So obviously, somebody,
Church on Sunday,
and I said, "Oh, this is really And the reason I bring this out, because they try to make this nice, right? They try to say just mean a Jewish name for a non-Jew. But it's a derogatory term they use for the other nations, right?
Hold on.
That's what I wanted to look at.
Because they're up there.
And they say Goyim, but it's not dictionary.com. They play the nice.
What does Goyim really mean?
He's like an older Edomite. He was like Israel.
That's a unique last name.
He's like,
Are you Jewish?
No, I'm saying, no, I'm Judah.
He's like Judah. How do you know about the 12 tribes of Israel?
Right.
So Goyim is a slur.
In the modern connotation that it's used.
But I'm gonna go so far as to say this.
All right, I'll go with the middle of the road that they do here.
It means he. So they speak in the same context. They talk in the same way.
They're very the term that is used
in the media and
colloquially is secular.
Meaning they keep themselves very separate, right?
Secluded.
And they do that same exact thing.
Yet if you try to attack them for that, you are anti-Semitic.
Right, we do the same thing,
and you're a hate group.
Right.
So where's the anti-Semitism towards us then?
Where are you up in arms trying to defend us?
They have their own hospitals. They have their own everything.
Right, and it's deemed as acceptable because that's what it's always been.
But really, this is what it's always been. We're just returning back to it because we lost it.
Right.
But then, like you said, it's deemed as hatred because it goes all back to the same thing. You're being pulled out of your comfort zone, so it's evil. So it's easy to label it as a hate group because.
Oh, you know what? That's not what I was taught my whole life.
Because although I didn't have those same questions, it's still, I still questioned it because it was like
that's not what I've been taught.
That's kind of hard to believe.
Right.
And then actually at work this week we had someone working with us who was watching the camp that's over here on 19th Avenue and Dunlap. He was like, hey, you know, you're saying some things. Like, have you ever seen these guys? They like teach the Bible on 19th and Dunlap. Oh yeah, the guy I know who you're talking about. And he was like, I love the message about the positivity, you know, for like the black image, because it was so hard to get over the hatred. He said, I said, why? What was hatred? Just the fact they're saying that nobody outside of the 12 tribes of Israel is going to inherit the kingdom of heaven.
But that's what the Bible says.
No, exactly. And I said, listen, that's because what you've been taught. Your whole thought system has been taught to you by your oppression.
Hey, it's funny. It's like that whole concept of the we're talking about that show C that's on the Apple TV Plus and Vision. So basically, there was a virus. It wiped out most of humanity. The survivors that were left, they were all blind, and they were continually born blind for generations after that. So it was something weird that where Vision became a heresy and a curse. Now Vision, right? It's hard to imagine that. How could that be a bad thing to be able to see? So it's heretical in that world that's made up in that show C to talk about Vision. And anybody who has vision, this is where it's spiritual, anybody who has vision is hunted down as witches, and they're persecuted.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so that's the whole concept of it, and everybody's scared of it. But it's very, like, if you're looking at it, you know, the first time you watch something like that, you're just so in awe of the whole concept of, let me see how these blind people are able to live this
way. No, right. That's super spiritual.
Right, but... And they have a whole story about Vision. The mother's telling the kids that, so there's like these two kids that can't see. So there was a father that can't see. And he went and procreated, right? He had sex with one of the women that was blind, and then she gave birth to twins that can see.
Mm-hmm.
And like knowledge was, like, man, it had me dying with the books. Did you see it?
Not
There's a scene where he goes and he tells them, here's a key. He gives the adoptive father, who is Aquaman, Jason Momoa, right? And so he comes and meets him in like the woods one day and stuff, and he gives him like a key, and he goes, listen, by this waterfall here, whatever, blah blah blah. And I get it. I mean, you're probably curious, how the hell is he gonna find this stuff? They have a way that they are able to like deal with the environment without sight.
That was my next question. So then.
Yeah. Well, that's the part that's so interesting that like you kind of gotta go back and see the spiritual message of it, because you're just so in awe of seeing these dudes fight blind and how they do it. Like, bro, there's one scene, like, yeah. I just saw in episode 3, like, bro, so beast, like the way he was fighting these dudes.
It's called C.
It's literally called C.
It's like a Book of Eli on steroids in a way.
Eli's so well done though. Book of Eli. The jury's still out on this one for me, because it's in a series format.
True.
But anyway, so. What's in this chest is books. It's books and books and books, right? And he's talking about, I put them in a certain order. He goes, I found these books because basically, like, it's hundreds of years after everybody went blind, so to find books at all was, you know, it's like a treasure, and they're useless to everybody else.
Right.
So I'm telling you, all the spiritual parallels. If you're blind, a book is useless to you, right?
Right.
So. So it's a little ABC book on the top. It's different stuff. And then, like, and he says, leave them in this order. Don't take them out of the order, because he knows they can't see. And if they take them out of order, but he was like, when the kids are 12, give them the chess and give them the books. And it's going to increase their knowledge. He goes, and then when they're old enough, one day they're going to leave the village and they're going to rebuild the world with the knowledge that's in these books and stuff
that.
So, but then there's, of course, the antagonist, and there's this queen that, like, she's, like, hateful, and, like, so Vision is, like, a curse. They have, like, a whole army and everything. So, like, in the span of 3 episodes, like, 20 years passes from the beginning.
Yeah.
And, like, this dude was hunting them for 20 years, but they remained hidden, and they couldn't find them, and now the kids are coming to their own and stuff. So, I mean, you know, there's obviously bones in it, but us looking at it spiritually, you can see the spiritual parallels. I say all that to say, going back to your original point, that people are offended and shocked when they hear that the Bible's only for the 12 tribes, Christ is black and everything, because it goes so against what the blindness that they have, the what's ingrained in them, what they identify with, that now something that's actually a good thing, especially for your own people, now becomes a bad thing because that's what's been, you know, pushed out and,
right.
and maintained.
Right.
And that's the whole thing. So like the kids, they were like the village can't know that the kids can see. They'll want to kill them and ostracize them. So if you can see, they call you a witch. They say it's a spiritual power if you have vision.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, like the scripture says, woe to them that call evil good and good evil. And then so that's what it's become. It's like I was having a conversation with somebody before, and I told them, I said, listen, if you were able to just unlock all these lies and get all these questions answered that you had in the back of your mind your entire life, would you want to do it? And then the immediate answer is yes, absolutely, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you say, okay, but with that, you could be ostracized. You can lose friends. You can lose family. You can lose jobs. You can lose all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Would you still do it? Well, hell no, I wouldn't do it. And I'm like, okay, well, I chose to lose all those things,
right,
to have these things answered.
Right.
And then the immediate thing is, well, why would you do that? Because you don't understand things spiritually enough to say, oh, okay, this is going to be worth it. But then that's why that one scripture where Christ says that I chose you and that you didn't choose me is so heavy to me,
mm-hmm.
because it's like, okay, listen, you have all these things that are going through your head, and I'm going to give you the answers to them because I chose you, and you're going to be okay with losing these things. So when people get pushed out of that comfort zone, right, because their vision is like opened up, oh man, it's just...
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's one of the premises in the thing. Like, they're like, no, they'll be ostracized for seeing... People will hunt them.
I'm gonna
check
it out.
People will hate them.
Yeah.
All this other stuff. So
you shall be hated by all men for my name's sake.
Yeah,
that's
so
heavy, man.
Yeah, bro. It's pretty good. It's pretty good to use those parallels and stuff like that. As long as you can like look at it spiritually, you know. I mean, they're saying the knowledge is being able to make weapons and do this, all this other stuff. But I'm looking at it spiritually as the knowledge is gonna be the Bible.
Right. Absolutely.
And they're gonna be hated for that. But the point is, really, again, just bringing it home to what you said, they're hated because of something that the rest of them don't have and only they have.
Yep.
So something that was good, vision, like who would say that to be able to see is a bad thing?
Yeah.
But because they're so used to blindness, and she tells a little story like at the end of like the second episode to the kids, and it's like a similitude for the senses and how basically it frames it that vision is a bad thing. To be able to see is a bad thing. So basically ignorance is bliss. You won't know that they live at peace because people can't see. You don't know who's ugly, who's not. You can't make projectile weapons because they're blind. Everything is close combat. Right? Because nobody, if you're blind, you can't be freaking.
Right.
What do you need guns for? What do you need bow and arrow for? Things like that. So there's a lot of parallels there. But it made me think of the show because I was recently watching it over the past couple nights, a few of the episodes. And I said, gosh, I said, when you're saying that, I said, look at how something that's so good and meant for good for our people can become so bad to the point that they'll actually right. kill you for it, that they actually fight you for it,
right.
and they'll ostracize you for it.
No, right. Like it goes back to this. This is the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It's the good news. What could be greater news to ever receive than that you're one of God's chosen people?
Right.
That salvation is obtainable as long as you come back.
And it's funny. Good news always has to come with bad news, right?
Always.
Some people will say no.
Always.
But it's bad news for somebody. Just like somebody's the hero
mm-hmm.
and somebody's the villain. And to the villains, they're the heroes. And if you're on their side, those are the – so it's all a matter of perspective, right?
Exactly.
But that's what I tell you. There's good news and bad news. Mm-hmm. Well, what's the good news? Well, you are the chosen seed.
Right.
This is the gospel. Christ is going to come to redeem you. Well, what's the bad news? Well, it's not bad for you, but it's bad for everybody else.
No, right. Exactly.
That the goyim, right?
Goyim.
Maybe if I use that term, they can't say anything to us.
Yeah?
Yeah, right?
Maybe.
We'll say goyim. Anyway, so let me read this article. And it says, most of America's terrorists are white and not Muslim. Right-wing terror is real and it's a problem. When it comes to domestic terrorism in America, the numbers don't lie. Far-right extremists are behind far more plots and attacks than Islamist extremists. And I'm going to tell you something. The reason they're going to compare this to Islamists, because there are no statistics on Israelites
nope.
who make all this negative press when it does come out, saying that we're black identity extremists, who the SPLC has up there spewing all type of rhetoric about us. And there are no statistics because we don't do things like that, right? According to the book of Romans, chapter 13, we're not supposed to do things to fight the powers that be, meaning the governments that are in place. That is not our aim. That is not our goal, all right? We're not going to break any laws. We're not going to do anything. Scripture says revenge is of the Most High, right? We should not seek that vengeance, but rather we should do patience
mm-hmm.
and applying of the commandments and doing what's commanded of us by spreading that understanding, awaken our people to then multiply that effort.
Right.
So meaning our aim is to actually make more productive citizens. Let's get this in Romans 13 real quick, and then I'm going to jump back to this article because I got to lay this foundation because people will say, well, no, you guys are black identity extremists. All because simply, not us, but that the Bible says the book is for the Israelites only. Now, what's interesting, it's all a matter of, again, perspective and context. The real issue is not that the Bible says that the Bible is only for the Israelites. The real issue is that blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans are saying that the Bible is only for them.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Because Amalek, right,
exactly.
who the world knows as your so-called Jewish people today, have been saying this and preached this for years.
Right.
If you look at their, is it the Tanakh or the Talmud is the one that, I always get them confused. Which is the one that's the rabbinical
interpretation? I think it's the Talmud, I think.
That's the one that they wrote, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, right, Torah is the first five books. Tanakh is the, so Talmud. So the Talmud, they hold in higher esteem than these scrolls.
Right.
And you notice because that's basically their interpretation of things. It's like Catholicism and the catechisms. They have another book where that's where they go to justify some things that you can't find in the Bible to say this is how, you know, a priest should remain unmarried, all these other rules that they have. A nun should remain unmarried. To even have nuns is a catechism thing. But anyway, so they hold the Talmud higher in esteem than that. So let's go back to this. This is our aim to multiply this type of efforts. So when the SPLC, when you have people out there putting out dossiers talking about that, watch these Israelites, okay? let me tell you what we are beholden to, because they all agree that we hold a strict belief of the Bible. This is what the Bible tells us about how we should operate in the world. Come on.
The book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power.
It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. Come on.
For there is no power but of God.
But there is no power but of God, meaning we understand good or bad, love him or hate him, whoever is ruling over us, the God allows that to be. Come on.
The power that be ordained of God.
It says those powers are ordained of God, meaning God chose these people. So they're not too far off when they say Trump, God chose Trump. Yeah, he did. He did. Just like he chose Obama, just like he's going to choose whoever else is after,
right.
Just like he chooses your mayors and your aldermen and all that stuff. That's all of the Lord.
He chose all those, but he shall yet choose Israel.
He shall yet choose Israel. Right. Go ahead. Come on.
Whosoever, therefore, resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God.
So if you resist those powers, if you resist the governments, right? And that's what terrorism is. That's what domestic terrorists are. That's what all these radicals are. If you resist those powers, it says you resist God.
Mm-hmm.
And we will not do that. Come on.
And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
And if you resist those things, you will receive to yourself damnation. Well, what is so bad that that's the message that we're trying to spread in addition,
right,
to our identity, to keeping the commandments? But I want to make clear, because this is the part I'm harping on. They try to make it seem like we're threats to society and to the government. And from a spiritual perspective, yeah, right, because things are going to be turned upside down if we get ourselves together. And that's really what the issue is. But let's just talk about now, in this present time, in this present world, we understand the weapons of warfare are spiritual, not carnal. We're not going to go and make bombs and do terroristic attacks, any type of stuff like that. Because it's our firm belief that that's not our salvation, and the scripture commands us not to do those type of things. Come on, read on.
For rulers are not a terror to good works.
Rulers are not a terror to good works. Rulers are not a terror. So basically, if you don't do nothing against the law, you don't got to worry about those things. Come on.
Right.
But to the evil.
But to the evil, yes. Not all black and Hispanic and Native men are innocent. There's some evil, murderous, slinging drugs, killing each other. Like, you look at Chicago, look at parts of Detroit. All right. And for those evil, then the law is there to bring them to justice. Come on.
Will thou then not be afraid of the power?
So we need to be afraid of the power. Come on.
Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same.
And if we do good, we'll have praise of the same. And it's funny, we don't need their praise, but this is the example where we speak of, like, we're at Tabernacles and like, wow, you know, I'm so impressed that you guys are so organized and and the other. And we get that praise, and we, you know, we chuckle at it because we're like, yeah, you basically, the only thing that's missing from there is you're so organized for it, because that's your expectation.
Right.
You see a bunch of blacks, Hispanics together, congregating together, right, in public spaces, and you're thinking the worst. But when they see that we're good, it says we're going to get their praise, right? Come on.
For he is the minister of God.
He is the minister of God. He is the minister of God. So the policemen, right, your law enforcement officials, all these people that are there passing these laws, they're there spiritually for a reason. Come on.
To thee for good.
If to us for good. If we do good, remember it said. Come on.
But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid.
But if you do that which is evil, be afraid. Is that in that verse?
For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God.
For he beareth not the sword in vain, meaning he will bring the judgment. Because we can't bring our own judgment to each other in this present world. But it says that he has these ministers that he uses to go ahead and pass those judgments.
A revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil.
A revenger.
Right.
That's what he's looked at, as a revenger, right?
You got people that actually walked and learned directly from Christ himself when he was manifest in the flesh and was on the earth. And you have people rolling in the spirit of, hey, let's cast down fire and kill these guys.
Right.
That learned directly from the Son of God.
Right.
How much the more people here in these last days? If we had spiritual powers in the last days, we would kill each other off.
Yeah.
So that's why
he said, you know not what spirit you're in.
Exactly. That's why when you read in the book of Psalms, the Lord said, listen, I'm going to make these people as my sword against you guys.
Can I tell you something? Us understanding that our heritage is like a speckled bird.
Mm-hmm.
That means how would we even know who to target if we were
right,
into that? How would we right. There would be casualties of our own people if we did that stuff.
Right.
And that's not it. So, yeah, we're going to drop bombs, but spiritual ones. All right.
Boom.
When it comes to bringing out like
Boom.
That Christ is a black man.
Right.
And that he's coming to only redeem the Israelites,
mm-hmm.
which are the so-called blacks, Hispanics, Native Indigenous peoples. Right. What you see on that chart that's there, what
right.
the Bible tells you, according to Deuteronomy 28. Second Ezra chapter 13:40, Deuteronomy 33, Genesis 49. Those are the Israelites.
Right.
Those are the Israelites. Anyway, let me get back to this real quick. It says there was almost twice as many terrorist incidents by right-wing extremists as by Islamist extremists in the U.S. from 2008 to 2016. According to a new report from the National Institute's Investigative Fund and the Center for Investigative Reporting's Revival, it says you know how the videos follow you when you scroll down the page? It's so annoying.
Right.
Looking at both plots and attacks carried out, the group tracked 201 terrorist incidents on U.S. soil from January 2008 to the end of 2016. And I got to point out again, not a one was committed by these Israelite groups that are on the SPLC's list,
right.
which Israel United in Christ is one of them that's on that list. And not a one was committed by us. The database shows 115 cases by right-wing extremists. From white supremacists to militias to sovereign citizens, compared to 63 cases by Islamist extremists. Incidents from left-wing extremists, which include eco-terrorists and animal rights militants, were comparatively rare with 19 incidents. When it comes to right-wing extremism, attackers are also mostly men and almost purely white.
Right.
While the database makes a point of distinguishing between different groups within right-wing extremism, lead reporter David Neward told HuffPost that those are all gradations of white supremacy, variations on the same thing. When it comes to right-wing extremism, attackers are also mostly men and almost purely white. Attackers by right-wing extremists were also more often deadly, with nearly a third of right-wing extremist incidents resulting in deaths, compared with 13% of Islamist extremist cases resulting in deaths. However, the sheer number of people killed by Islamist extremists, a total of 90 people, was higher than the death toll at the hands of right-wing extremists. Now, mind you, that's only because the statistic is skewed.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
Because they say 79 people in all these years by right-wing extremists. What was the dude in Vegas? Didn't he kill like 70-something people?
Yes.
By himself?
By himself.
And that was one incident like a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Not including the dude that just shot up the Walmart, not including the one that shot up that festival. Right.
Right?
So they don't classify those. See, this is where the stuff gets really skewed. The numbers are already disproportionately showing you that it's white people that are terrorists, and it doesn't even include the ones that they refuse to deem as terrorists, but rather call them mentally ill or mentally unstable.
Right. Right. That's the catch right there.
Right. So it says, meanwhile, President Donald Trump has focused his rhetoric and policies almost entirely on countering Islamist extremism and not white supremacist extremism. As with a lot of things related to Trump and the Islamophobic right, the reality is viewed through an upside-down looking glass. The reality is the most significant domestic terror threat we have is right-wing extremism. So not black identity extremists, not Israelites who are deemed as a hate group. It says the most significant domestic terror threat is right-wing extremism, which is done by white men.
Right. So the nearly billion people of the natives, blacks and Hispanics that were killed during slavery, was that due to...
That's not even classified.
Right. Was that due to a mental illness too?
Right. Right.
Manifest destiny was a mental illness?
No, it's a spiritual illness because the scripture tells you their spirit's not upright in them.
Right, exactly.
Right. It's a spiritual illness.
Come on, man.
So it says the investigative fund's findings reflect those of previous studies of domestic terrorism. The New America Foundation, for instance, which has been tracking deadly terror incidents on U.S. soil since the September 11th attacks, also finds an almost 2-to-1 ratio of attacks by far-right extremists to Islamist extremists. Now, mind you, it would be a 2-to-0 ratio if you're trying to throw us in there, right? With 21 deadly attacks by far-right extremists compared to 11 by Islamist extremists. So basically, the problem is Esau and Ishmael, not us.
Right.
But we come out there. Mm-hmm. With the, Are you telling me that this book that you say is so silly that we believe in is so threatening to you? You got to look at that thing spiritually. Yep. It is a threat. We understand the power
it's
of this
not
book.
A book. It's a weapon.
It's a weapon.
Exactly.
Reaching out to the hearts and minds of the broken and the destitute.
If it comes from the book.
Yeah, that's from the book of Eli. From the book of Eli. It says, despite the facts, many Americans still associate terror attacks with Islamist extremists rather than far-right extremists. I think the larger perception in the public, and this includes many progressives and liberals, is the inversion of the reality. I like that term, the inversion of the reality, that the greatest threat we face is Islamist radicals. It says that's not true. That's an inversion. And it's reflected in the way the press reports upon various kinds of domestic terror attacks. When it's a white domestic terrorist, they underplay it and write it off to mental illness.
Right.
And this is a academic, professional, licensed, degree, white person saying this. All right. The reality is the most significant domestic terror threat we have is right-wing extremism. The media has a long history of double standards when it comes to covering terrorism, starting with how slow mainstream media is to label attacks by white perpetrators as terrorism and quick to label them as such when attacks are perceived as non-white or other, and specifically Muslim. Parts of the problem is the complex nature of how officials choose to categorize attacks as terrorism. And this is what I was saying. They don't categorize these other things as terrorism. Mm. But if you really put this number together, they're the ones that should largely be on the hate group. They're the ones that are listed that way. And let me tell you, someone will say, well, the SPLC has a list of some. Yeah, those are the ones that get together and have like an actual designation. There's many more that don't affiliate themselves with any group, so on and so forth. And they're the ones that carry out these attacks.
Exactly. Absolutely. For sure.
It says the FBI has specific criteria it uses to classify terrorist incidents, but the public doesn't always agree with officials' labels. For instance, many people condemn the government for not labeling Dylann Roof as a terrorist after he killed 9 black churchgoers in Charleston, South Carolina in 2015, even though he specifically said he was there to shoot black people, according to witnesses. There's actually a debate over whether what Dylann Roof did was domestic terrorism when it so plainly is domestic terrorism. A lot of this has to do with embedded judgments about where these threats come from. This is what I said earlier. That's the fancy way to say it's not a problem when Amalek tells you the Bible's only for them. It only becomes a problem when we say it's only for us, meaning when blacks and Hispanics and natives say the Bible's only for us. Then it becomes a problem. Right. So it's the embedded judgments about where these threats come from. And that has to do with fear mongering. And I'm not even going to say Islamophobia. That's what they're using here. All right. Because the Bible tells you the prophecy about Ishmael. And we know that he'll be away. So like we look at that and we're like, yo, he's just doing what he do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's not crazy. That's not spiritually wrong. That's what he was created to be.
Right.
And that's what he is.
And that kid Dylann, right, for the audience, I forgot who that kid was. That's the kid that they took to Burger King right after he killed all those people. The police took him to Burger King because he was hungry. So that's right there showing that injustice or that favoritism, you know, when they carry out these attacks. They're like, oh, you know, this kid probably has some mental issues. Let's give him something to eat after killing 9 black people.
You know why right-wing extremists?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They're the biggest threat because there's actually action behind things that, like they say, right? I can go stand on the street corner every single day out of the year and say I'm going to kill somebody. That doesn't mean that I'm a murderer,
right?
But the things that they say produces actions, and it's not necessarily the person saying it, but it empowers the people that are of that
same
race.
That's really what it is. It empowers them.
Exactly.
It empowers them. Just like white Jesus empowered them.
Absolutely.
To have the white supremacist attitude they have.
Right.
And I'm telling you, deep down, they know this power, which is why they have a problem when we show Jesus in his true personage as a black man.
Yep.
Because they know the power that yields to see the superiority.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's King of Kings. They'll tell you that himself.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is King of Kings.
Right.
But he's only King of Kings to them if he looks like them.
That's right.
If he's of their race.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's not. Then it's you wish or in your dreams.
Yep.
Or whatever it is, all the different comments you get when you're walking around with a black image of Christ.
Christ is not a modern, no?
Yeah, Christ, he's all colors.
Right. What is this? So it says, so far, Trump has shown a clear double standard in his response to terrorism. After Islamist extremists attacked London on June 3rd, for instance, Trump condemned the violence on Twitter the same day. But after an attack in Portland, Oregon, by a white supremacist on May 26, Trump waited more than 2 days before tweeting about it. After the London attack, Trump called on the courts to reinstate his travel ban on certain Muslim-majority countries, which was roundly criticized. After the Portland attack, Trump made no calls to change policy to prevent future attacks. It also goes on to talk about how the Trump administration dropped funding for a nonprofit group that's supposed to basically help people transition out of these white supremacist groups. And it says it's not just Trump that's the problem.
Oh, gosh.
It says the funds database goes back to 2008 and shows clearly how government resources have been disproportionately dedicated. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Trump isn't the problem, like, at all. Right. We just read in Romans 13 that he's the one that puts those powers right to be. He's not the problem. Trump's doing what he needs to do. Mm-hmm. Right. The problem is people need to stop looking at things from a perspective of how it makes you feel and the reality of what's there. And listen, man, your people is running rampant, shooting people up all over the place.
That's right.
Yo, and that's what's crazy about the Multi, because, you know, during this time, everybody's like, oh, you know, we're all one. We're one nation. Once Trump got into office, he magnified the bigotry of this country.
And that's what it is. He's their Jesus.
That's it.
That's really what it is. He's their Jesus. And it says, I'm going to jump to the end of the article here. It says, the first thing we need to do is recognize that it's there. It's a problem. It's a threat. As great a threat as Islamist, and it needs to be taken seriously. So this is the threat of the of these right-wing extremists. So you look like you got some stuff you want to bring out.
Oh, you already, you know, you – went over at Hibeca too, you know, about them being up, not upright.
But like I said, I don't want to make this about the white man. I want to emphasize what we do.
Right.
So, gotcha. Oh, what you bringing? What you bringing?
Well, you know, like you said, this is a spiritual war, you know, and you know, we have to obey the powers that be.
Okay.
Also, when you read, it says the best way to successfully, you know, to win the spiritual war is be separate. We have to be separate. You know what I mean? We have to, you know, keep God's commandments, you know, follow the Bible and, you know, be separate from their ways. Stop celebrating their holidays. Stop. And that's the reason why this Bible is a weapon. Because once you do that, you're spiritually destroying them because you're coming out of that captivity, mental captivity.
Give me Psalms 19, verse 7. Mm. All right. Psalms 19, verse 7. Because there's no my thoughts or my feelings that go into anything that we say or do when it comes to the message that we push toward people. Everything that we say is biblical and comes directly from the Bible. Read it
right. The book of Psalms, chapter 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul.
So the Bible says that God's laws are perfect. So that's what we teach, that if you want to achieve that perfection that Christ said could be achieved through him, then you got to come back and start keeping God's commandments. There's nothing wrong and there's nothing imperfect about thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. Those things are perfect, and those things are the solutions to what's going on within our communities. There would be no Chirac. If our people simply followed the law of thou shalt not kill, there would be no such thing as black-on-black crime or killing each other over street corners and colors and tennis shoes. That's the message that we tell our people, come back to God's laws. But what the powers that be understand is that when we come back to God's laws, then that's when this kingdom begins to fall. It goes right back into that age of decadence when they understand that their expiration date is vastly approaching. So then they start pushing sin to our people to keep us in captivity. But you can't stop what God says is going to happen. He says a remnant of his people will wake up, they will teach his commandments, and that's what you're seeing now. But we're not telling people, hey, do this because I think that it would be beneficial to our people. We're doing it because that's what the Bible says. Psalms 19, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The only way to fix the problems of single-parent households, of broken households, of the out of order of it's so easy nowadays for things to be so flipped and reversed. that when we say things like, oh, there's no such thing as 50-50, for instance, that's a big thing right now in, like, society. Men, be a man. Run your household the way the Bible commands you to. Oh, no. Because America taught me that I am woman, hear me roar. And anything you can do, I can do better. Right. But that's not what God says. But read it again, Psalm 19, verse 7.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
So going back to what Kevin Yashua said earlier, bringing this thing full circle, we teach God's laws, and that's what makes us perfect in our conversion from being called Negroes, Spics, Hispanics, having that murderous spirit, having that thieving spirit. It's coming back to God's laws.
Right. It's perfect because let's talk about some of that perfect. And being in the interest of time, I'm just going to go over some of them. Let's just go straight to ones that people can all understand. Let's go to Exodus 20. Let's look at the 10. Tell me what's perfect.
Yep.
Tell me how this makes us a hate group to teach these type of things.
The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse.
Start at one. That's good. Yeah.
Verse 1.
Yeah.
And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
All right, so he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I don't think that's sinful. And then in the context of what gods are, you got to look at that and say God is first. People bug out because we don't want to celebrate certain holidays and things like that.
Right?
The scripture tells you to choose none of the heathen's ways. All right? It says, envy not thou oppressor and choose none of his ways. His ways are those holy days. So thou shalt have no other gods before me. You got to understand the 10 is a summation of all the laws. And you have to put some sense into thinking about these as these come out and see what scenarios do these cover. This covers every possible scenario. The 10 is the foundation of everything. Right. So it says, you shall have no other gods before thee. Come on.
Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth.
Now, someone will stop there and say, see, you shouldn't make any images or anything like that. So then that means you shouldn't wear Nike, Puma.
Get rid of all your mirrors.
Get rid of your mirrors. Have any money in your pocket, right? No. Continue on because there's a colon here letting you know he's continuing the thought in verse 5.
Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them.
So we should not bow ourselves to them or serve them. So we should not be praying to no crosses, no statues, none of that stuff.
Santa Maria, that's how you say it. Santa Maria.
Santa Maria.
Santa Maria.
That's how you say it.
That's how you say it. His whole accent changed. Come on.
For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me.
And listen, he says what he's saying here is that if you do these things, you hate him. He says, if you do these things contrary to what he's telling you, meaning because he's telling you what not to do now, he says you hate him. He says, so you got to think about those things. Yeah, you're damn right. I'm not going to celebrate no Christmas because then that means I hate him. Come on. Yep.
And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments.
And he'll show mercy. That mercy comes, right, by keeping his commandments. You show your love to him by keeping his commandments. Come on.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.
Hey, and let me tell you something. That's one of the most confusing commandments.
Yep.
Because it was explained to me growing up I grew up Catholic largely and by priests and my parents that means don't just say things like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Or God damn it, I can't believe this. You're like, you shouldn't say things like that. Now, sure, is it? It's not expedient to say those things because our people have those things so ingrained in them that you don't want to walk around speaking that way, right?
Right.
But what it's really talking about taking the Lord's God's name in vain is that don't profess to love him. Don't love him with your lips and then don't honor him by what he wants you to do. He
right.
just said you love him by keeping his commandments. But then you're going to take God's name into you and you're going to say, I believe in God. I believe in the one true God. I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And then not do anything that they say. That's taking his name in vain.
Right.
Right.
All right. I mean, that's like the overview of it. And then, you know, examples can be given. You can do whole classes on taking God's name in vain. Right. So go ahead. Come on.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
And if you don't, you've taken God's name in vain. The Sabbath day is Saturday. There's no sin in that. That's perfect. These things are perfection. This makes us a hate group because we want our people to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. One of the ways we keep it holy, read verse 9.
6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord.
So don't work
God.
On the Sabbath day. What's so hateful about that? And you can't tell me it's hateful to say that we shouldn't go ahead and that all nations aren't saved and that Christ is black. Because that's what the Bible says. So how does that make you hateful?
Right, right.
Nobody's running around saying I hate you because of that, right? Come on.
In it thou shalt not do any work.
Jump down now. So let's go into the ones on dealing with each other, and let's see if that's hateful. Jump to verse 12.
Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
We're telling you to respect your parents, to listen to your parents, to honor them, and you honor them by going by their guidance, listening to what they tell you, by keeping these laws. There's another one that says honor the hoary head. I was reading something the other day right here in Phoenix where these three kids beat up a 60-year-old guy. Like, I don't know if he's in a concussion or if they killed him. Like, they beat the crap out of this guy.
Yeah, I just watched a video on Facebook because it was a Jake mom. Just because she turned off the game, the kid punched his mom in the face.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
In front
of his friends.
In front of his friends.
Yeah.
Wow.
If my friend would have done that. Face. Yo.
Children rule over us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
Isaiah 3:12.
Damn.
That's man.
Damn. Yep. Yeah. So we're trying to teach our people that's not the type of behavior that you should do. And you know, you'll have some clever Edomites, right, that'll come in there. Some of them like to bomb the show sometimes, and they'll come in here and they'll say, make stupid comments or whatever. We just ignore their BS. We'll delete their stuff later. And they'll say, well, that should be common sense. Our children don't do that. Well, that's BS because there's plenty of footage. Remember the one with the boy that kept slapping his mom?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Your freaking kids are monsters.
The one on Dr. Phil.
And if you were doing such a good job at raising them, why the hell are they the ones shooting up schools and Walmarts and all this other stuff?
Right.
Right. And it's not common sense because your people and your forefathers have done such a number on our people. And in different ways, you exert that same influence to this day that, we're all jacked up that we would do that and exhibit that type of behavior. But guess what?
Mm-hmm.
This Bible is going to take them away from that. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So it's going to change all that was done unto us. I don't see how any of this is hateful stuff. Read on.
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not kill. We want to make sure that we impress upon our people that you should not be doing that. We marched in Chicago in solidarity to show that you can come together and not have to be that way. Well, you don't think you have 1,100 men? And that we don't have little things that might come up that we would dispute about. But guess what? They remain little, no matter what it is, because we apply these commandments.
That's
because
right.
The law of the Lord is perfect.
Hey, you know why that these things aren't common sense either, Cap? Because things have been put in place to completely destroy us as a people, starting in the time of slavery up until now. Even in the 60s, when they had the financial assistance and welfare, in order to get those things, the family structure had to be completely destroyed, so there could be no man in the household. So it's hard to honor thy father and thy mother when you don't even have a dad and you're not taught these core values from young.
Right.
So it's not common sense.
Right. Right. We got 5 minutes left on this. Get me. Is it Leviticus 18? Because this is one of the ones that they say. I want the one about laying down. with homosexuality. 22.
Yeah.
Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22.
There's no, listen, we just read in Psalms 19 and 7 that the law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. Mm-hmm. All right? It says the law of the Lord is perfect. One of the things that the SPC has us on the hate group thing is because we speak out against homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Because that stuff, you know, you and really, if you think about it, what is homosexuality breed based on what he just said? And that's rhetorical. You don't got to answer it. What it breeds is a broken home.
That's right.
It breeds a broken home.
Exactly.
Because the family structure is father and mother. It doesn't say honor your father and father. Honor your mother and mother. There's a way things are structured. So we're a hate group because we speak out against that stuff. The scripture tells you and commands you clearly here. Come on.
Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination.
There should be no homosexuality. It says you should not lie with mankind as with womankind.
Right.
You should not be doing that stuff. The scripture is clear on that. Get me the one in Romans. Was it Romans 1? Because someone will say, well, that's the Old Testament.
Romans 1, verse 26.
Yep. How are these things hateful? Because the status quo says that love is love. Listen, go ahead. Go do your love is love, right? In Ecclesiastes, it says live, enjoy that youth. Live that way. But understand that there's going to be a time where you're going to have to pay for all those actions, right?
That's right.
So go ahead. We're still going to speak out against it because the Bible tells us to speak out against it. Other than that, we have no power to affect any change on you. It's the Lord that opens that up in you or not.
Right.
Right? Come on, Romans 1, 26.
The book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 26.
Actually, yeah, read that. Go ahead.
For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, which is against, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature.
So it's talking about homosexuality. It says that's vile affections and that even the women did this. And it says, what's the natural use of the woman? To produce seed.
Right.
So homosexuality is another mechanism where it'll go ahead and destroy the Israelite home, the so-called black and Hispanic home. Actually, jump up to verse 25. Because going into not taking the Lord's name in vain, this is exactly what this is telling you here. Come on.
Verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie?
Who said all of a sudden that homosexuality is okay? Who said that it's okay to commit these atrocities and that it was all right? Come on.
And worship and serve the creatures more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
It says, and they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. All right. I'm not going to get real deep with the creature, but the creature, by and large, is dealing with, I'm just going to say it's the status quo that homosexuality is acceptable.
Yeah, right.
And and because it's framed by a law, right? The scripture tells you they frame of mischief by a law.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to run with that. Despite God saying that that's contrary. That's taking the Lord's name in vain.
Right.
This is what it means. You worship that creature. You worship those people. That image, those people who went ahead and said, no, it's okay.
Right.
Oh, they said it's okay. So, God, this thing is outdated and antiquated.
Yep.
So we shouldn't do that. Listen, if these actions, if these laws, and this is just some of them, right? We have thou shall not steal, thou shall not lie or deal falsely.
Mm-hmm.
If this thing makes us a hate group, something is seriously wrong with what the definition. If anything, this makes us a love group.
Right.
Right. Right? We're showing God his love.
Right.
Right. Christ made it clear. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Right.
I have one more scripture on the whole gay topic thing. Deuteronomy 23, verse 17. It says, there shall be no whores of the daughter of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel.
Wow, look at that.
So we're out here teaching even our sisters, like, yo.
Stop hoeing around.
Stop hoeing around. Stop hoeing around. Young men, don't fall into these sodomite-ish ways. All right? Be a man.
Right, you know.
Right. Okay. Well, that's the show for this week. All right. Don't fall for the okie doke. Right. They're telling you we're a hate group or whatever.
That's right. Love is not love.
Dive a little deeper. Your perspectives are skewed and jaded because deep down your disdain and hatred for us as a people is evident.
Right.
All right. All right, well, that's the Power Hour. Lord's Will will be on next Sabbath, and we're going to have to talk about Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving, I think, is the week after that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that. I got an interesting little book.
Thanksgiving.
Called Lies My Teacher Told Me.
Mm.
It goes into what the first Thanksgiving was really like.
Mm.
So we'll be covering that. And Lord's Will, when we go on the Native Beach Show, we'll be covering some of that with them, too. I'm not sure what format they want to do, but I believe December 6th we're supposed to appear on their show again.
Yes, sir.
And I'm looking forward to it, seeing them sisters again, and being able to try to push this message out to a further audience. So, all right. Well, with that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Who's that? Brian Marley.
Some